glad we're here. I think of that scripture quite often where David said, I was glad. Isn't that a good word? And all of your thinking, be glad. I mean, if you're not glad, why, think about something else. I am glad. With all sincerity, don't you think that sometimes that we spend our time looking for something to worry about and get discouraged because we can't find it? Amen. Now in the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 4, we'll begin reading with verse 1 where Paul said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come. You reckon if he was writing that, he'd use the same phrase now? The time will come. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But watch thine all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Look at those few words there where he said, for I am now ready. The question would be, are we now ready? There's been a lot of times in my life, in my line of thinking, I was ready. I mean, I was sitting on ready until the test come. Number one, am I now ready to repent?
Come on now.
I really believe with all sincerity that a true repentance has some depths in it.
Amen.
But, y'all, I don't believe it's shallow. And maybe there are those that says it's not important. Well, if it were not important, I'd still want it. It is important, but if it were not, I'd still want it. I mean, I draw some benefits through repentance that I wouldn't want to miss. I realize that repentance is a change of mind, and we shouldn't have any resentment towards that. I mean, any change of mind for me would be for my betterment. As low as I am, if I want to move in any direction, it would be up. Is that going to hurt me to repent? Is that going to make people think less of me when I repent? Anything I do towards repentance is going to lift me up. Going to have nobody to turn me off for me to repent. I'm so low that if anything at all happens, I'm going to have to come up. I agree that repentance is a change of mind. And brother, I mean, that's possible when your mind is dirty. To have a change of mind, it's possible. Since he's not here, he wouldn't mind me using him. Brother Alan Jones. How many know Brother Alan Jones? He said, you know, Earl, when they ordained me, the man that prayed thee, ordination prayer, said he laid his hands on my head and he said, Lord,
You know it's vain to lay dirty hands on an empty head. We can dismiss right there. Come and go shout in the room. Then, beloved, I really sincerely believe that real repentance goes deeper than just a change of mind. Oh, and then someone would say, and I would agree wholeheartedly, means to turn around and go in another direction. That's a good thing to do. There have been a lot of times I wished I'd have went in another direction. Amen. If I'd have went in another direction, I'd have been a whole lot better off. But then I really believe that real, genuine repentance has some depths in it. Some depths in it. I believe that if I'm truly repenting in the eyes of God, maybe not necessarily just in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of God, if I'm really repenting, I'll come before His presence with my life as an open book. Give you about three reasons why I should come before His presence with my life as an open book. Number one, otherwise He won't hear me. He won't hear me when I pray. Now, David was a man that God complimented. Amen. David was a man that God said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart. Amen. Amen. Did he ever say that about you? I asked him one time to tell me what he thought about me, never no more. I heard him plainly. Understood exactly what he said. And that's enough. I don't want to hear it no more. Never do I want him to tell me again what he thinks of me. That's enough, Charlie. One time's enough. If you listen to him, you might not want to hear it but one time. Amen. Like I was lying in bed one morning about 10 o'clock and I humbly say, Lord, what would you have me to do today? And he said, I'll have you get up. That's enough, Lord. That's enough. Talk to somebody else. Tell Charlie something. Amen. And then we find the Lord that not only come before Him with our life as an open book, otherwise He won't hear us. Look at David, just one more thought here. I believe that if God would have had a pig or a pet, if anybody would have been the teacher's pet, it would have been David. But what I'm saying is that although God said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. And then, another thing, another reason why we should come before Him with our life as an open book, and I believe there's some true repentance in that, being honest with Him. And that is, God already knows more about us than we know about ourselves. The eye of the Lord is in every place, beholding the good and the bad. The question would be, how can we hide anything from Him. He knows our down settings. He knows our uprisings. He knows our thoughts are false. You cannot hide anything from God.
So why not just come with your life as an open book in His presence? Amen. We're far better off. For a bunch of people already knows it anyway. You can't hide anything from Him. I can't hide anything from my little wife. A little personal experience. We were coming out of Houston one night. Brother Harry Nix and I. And Harry was letting me drive. And we were coming down 10 now. And I thought we were making about 35 miles an hour. And I guess we were. Blue lights. And I thought that patrolman's after somebody. I'm going to pull over and let him get him. I pulled over and he pulled over. Let me see your driver's license, he said. I showed him to him and he said they're no good. Counterfeit. Don't you have to drive on a counterfeit license? They don't accept that. It was out of date. They had expired. Harry, my good friend, said, Earl, tell him you're a preacher. Tell him you are a preacher. I said, Harry, I don't want him to get me for lying to you. He never believe I'm a preacher. And he gave me a ticket. Didn't even ask me for it. Didn't even ask for my permission. When God moves in judgment, for the most part, He don't ask for our permission. So, it bewildered me, and I couldn't explain to you how low and how discouraged I was. I didn't enjoy the trip the rest of the way. And I thought, this wouldn't help my wife any, you know. She wouldn't be shouting the victory because I had this experience. I slipped in and robbed the piggy bank and stole all the money I could find here, there, and elsewhere, and sold my whiskey and took that money there. Sit it in! I said, I'm sure glad that's behind me! I was up in Kentucky, up at Paige Hardy's in Ratcliffe, Kentucky, and I called home, and she said, you know, honey, the police department in Houston wrote you a letter. Complimenting you for sending that sign in so soon. P.S. Oh, a little more. I'm just saying, I can't hide anything from that little girl. Why try to hide something from him? But listen, beloved, if you repent in true repentance, hallelujah, you don't have to hide anything from him. Amen! Glory be to God, I said, if you really repent, you don't have to hide anything from him. We should come before His presence with our life as an open book, because otherwise He won't hear us. And then because He already knows more about us than we know about ourselves. And then, thirdly, He delights, hear me? He enjoys forgiving. I say real, true, genuine repentance will produce forgiveness. If I hadn't been forgiven, I hadn't really repented. If my sins hadn't been cleansed, I hadn't really repented.
You see that repentance, that real true repentance, kind of acts as a conveyor. You lay those sins on the conveyor, and that conveyor rolls them into the blood. They're gone. Aren't you glad your sins are gone? You say, preacher, my sins are not gone. Lack of repentance. But them sins are still having dominion. Hadn't really repented. They don't hang around when you really repent. Amen. One good preacher. I'm serious. One good preacher. He said, how would you look for God to place all your sins on the screen and let everybody gaze upon them? Well, I thought that wouldn't be too pleasant. I wouldn't pop my hand about that. I didn't really say anything, but I thought, good brother, you give me about that much time, you can put them all up there. If I get in a tide, I can repent in a hurry. Amen! Hallelujah! Glory be to God! Amen! 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 You know, in real, genuine depths of repentance, you never, never, never confess the same sin twice. You say, why, preacher? Nothing to confess. If you confess it one time, it's gone. Amen.
Come on, preacher.
I mean, real, genuine repentance will produce victory. It'll produce victory. It'll put them sins in the blood. The blood will cleanse it, and they're gone. This is a simple way of looking at it. I used to work at the acid plant. And that acid would drip down, fall in a little trough down here. And we'd take a piece of paper, something like this, and we'd stick that little piece of paper down in the acid. We'd never take it out. You say, why do you never take it out? I didn't altogether understand it, but there was something about that acid that took the paper away.
Above the acid line, there was paper. Below the acid line, no paper. Above the bloodline, sin. Above the bloodline, sin. Below the bloodline, no sin.